Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And now to our final speaker, who's come all the way from America to see us, Astrid.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. See the name of this group again. I think it's Road to Recovery. Plymouth Road to Recovery. I'm talking to you guys from Los Angeles. Hey. Thank you for all the shares. And it was really good to hear everybody with all these fun accents. And I still can't quite break it. I don't know. There was something somebody said and I can't even repeat it. It was just too funny. And I think I must have misunderstood it. I think he said something like, I get fucked in the face or something like that. I don't know. I can't understand the accent. Anyway, I apologize for cussing. That'll be my last cuss word. Just confusing. I think he meant I screw myself over and over again. I get into trouble, which is what we do. So for me, I talk about alcoholism and I talk about it as a mind function. And there are two parts to step one, and it's that I'm powerless over alcohol, and then dash that my life is unmanageable. And you know, the invisible line is an invisible line. Some people cross over it early. Some people cross over it later. It's invisible. And most people don't really know the day or the time that they crossed over it. I do not believe that children are born an alcoholic. I believe that we may be predisposed, and certainly it's environmental. And I do believe that when they say that it's generational, I think it's not generational through the bloodline and through the genes. I think it's actually generational through learned behavior, through the ecosystem that we are born into, to the way our parents handle frustration and anger and hostility, the way our mothers and our fathers continue to fight or spank, or we are not heard, or there's childhood trauma, or we are moved round and around and around. And, you know, unfortunately, when the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous was written, there wasn't as much information on childhood trauma as there is now. And childhood trauma and hardcore alcoholism and hardcore addiction go hand in hand. So there was this pre-state in my life before I began to drink where I was restless, irritable, and discontent. My mother is a war survivor from Nazi-occupied Germany. She starved. She was raped by soldiers. A lot of bad things happened to her. And her father beat her when she was a child all the time with a bamboo cane. He cracked pretty much every rib in her body and every vertebrae. So my mom comes out kicking and screaming, moves to America, marries my dad, and she is just ruling with an iron fist. Her daughters aren't pretty. Her daughters are not adored. There's no hugging. There's no kissing. There's no kindness. It's you will do this and that's that. I've almost never seen my mother cry. My father, on the other hand, is very cerebral. He got his got his bachelor's at Harvard, his master's at Columbia, and his PhD at Princeton. Written many books, you know, always teaching, always at the colleges, just sort of disconnected. And I remember way before I drank feeling ugly and feeling unloved and feeling like Miss Nobody. There was no self-esteem, none whatsoever. And I personally believe that pitiful and incomprehensible behavior happens to people with no self-esteem. There are very few alcoholics that I have ever met that said, I felt so amazing my whole childhood. My parents loved me and I was able to process my feelings and I felt so adored, and my mother or my father put me to bed at night and I was allowed to talk about whatever hurt my feelings, and my mother would say she was sorry and my father would say he was sorry, and I was taught compassion and I was taught love. It's very rare. And if that was you and you crossed over the invisible line later, well, they asked me to speak for 25 minutes, so I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. Anyway, that being said, a lot went down before I drank. So there's this broken child, okay? There's this broken child and she's kicking and screaming. There are two kinds of alcoholics. One that goes outward and fights, and the other that stuffs and goes inward and suppresses all the feelings and pushes them down. I'm the outward one. And psychiatrically, the outward one is actually the easiest one to treat, because this one is in touch with their feelings, even if it's fury and anger and hostility, even if it's that I want to shank you, even if it's that I want to take you down, even if it's that my feelings are hurt and I hate your guts. The one that can't even get in touch with a feeling and says, I don't really know what happened in my childhood. Sometimes it's so repressed and pushed down that it's actually inaccessible. And the steps are in a logical order form, but they're not a homework assignment. They're there to give us a psychic shift in our perception so that I can see the world differently, so I can respond instead of react, so that I can, it's better to love than to be loved. It's better to understand than to be understood. These steps are there to open my heart up. And in order to open my heart up, I really have to see what's wrong with me. We all probably go through the steps multiple times, and every time we uncover, discover, and discard. But even on a daily basis, not doing step homework, there's still the possibility that we're having aha moments and aha moments and aha moments, which is called spiritual awakenings. So somewhere around 12 or 13, somebody opened a beer and I drank it, and alcohol did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I was at the party and I felt good. And everybody looked good. And all of a sudden I have a crush on him over there and I can talk to her and I'm not intimidated and my eye contact gets better and I relax. And all those voices in my head about how ugly I am or how, you know, just how bad I feel about my life, they seem to temporarily vanish and I feel good. And I like partying and I like it a lot. And I can't wait for Friday night because it's going down. Where's the party? You know? Where's the beer? Where's the keg? Where's the whatever? But as time goes on, it's not so fun anymore. Alcohol becomes my master, like they say in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I lose the freedom of choice. There's no more choices left. It's on and cracking. Like the guy that said, he'd just wake up walking around with a bottle of vodka in the morning. I get it. It's beer 30 every morning. That's what time it is. You want to know what time it is? It's always beer 30. Continuously all day long, it's beer 30. And I stay mildly inebriated over and over and over for days, weeks, months, and years. And thank you for the first speaker, because he so eloquently said that alcohol is also a depressant. So I wake up every morning in hell, thinking I need a psychiatrist, thinking I need to blow my brains out, thinking I have something really wrong with me, when all I really do is have severe untreated alcoholism, severe across the board. So I go into my teens and my 20s and my 30s, and everything's just a mess. You know, this whole thing, like my picker's broken. Let me tell you, that is such an understatement. That is such an under evaluation psychiatrically. I just gravitate towards anything that's dark. I gravitate, you know what, the worst guy in the room and I'm in love. You know, the crappiest friend that's going to borrow the money and never pay me back, she's my buddy. It's on and cracking. Me and you, let's go together. I mean, just fair weathered friends, like it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Low lives. I was a low life, they're low lives, because I couldn't feel anything but that. I was almost born into that. And then I poured liquor on top of that. And then I put myself in pitiful and incomprehensible, demoralizing situations, and everything just piled and piled and piled and piled and piled on top. And I would do geographicals and I would meet other people and I would think I need a straight guy, and a straight guy couldn't, you know, work it out with me. And so maybe I need a biker, or maybe I need a this guy, maybe I need a that guy, maybe I need a guy with restraining orders, maybe I need a guy from prison. I don't know what kind of guy I need. I need a boyfriend. You know what? I have the total inability to form a true partnership with another human being because I never even formed a true partnership with my own primary family. So what do I think I'm going to take out into the world if there's no tools? If there's no tools, there's no tools. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is here to show me. So putting the plug in the jug is a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of the whole entire journey that goes on forever. There is no graduating point. I don't work the steps. I live by the principles of the steps as a way of life, the spiritual principles. I apply them to my life. So I look at step one and it says, I'm powerless over alcohol, dash, that my life is unmanageable. I have come to believe that my life is unmanageable by self, with self. I don't need alcohol. to go crazy on you. I don't need alcohol to blow a gasket in the middle of the street, to flip somebody off on the freeway, to want to cut somebody off in line, to feel like I have an entitlement and you don't. Don't you know who I think I am? I wasn't invited to your party. I hope your house burns down. The punishment never fits the crime. My mind speaks to me with great authority, and something's going down, and it's you. All the time. I have no ability to stay centered. They're doing it to me. They're all doing it to me. But I have news for you. The calls are coming from this inside the house. And I'm the self-manufacturer of my own misery. I am, like Bill Wilson says, the breeder of confusion, not harmony. I do not know how to meet calamity with serenity. I meet calamity with calamity. You can call me Calamity Jane, because everywhere I go in untreated alcoholism, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble, and security's going to get called, and somebody's going to want to walk me to my car, and it's going to get all crazy. I don't need liquor. I don't need liquor to light up my insanity. So I look at this step two process. I have to come to believe that a power can restore me. This is not a race. Again, this is a way of life. The only way that I can have a relationship with this power is by interacting with this power, is by seeking through prayer or meditation or both to improve my conscious contact with this power. Now, if the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that the main part of the illness centers in the alcoholic's mind, rather than her body, then alcoholism isn't in the liquid. It's in my mind. Which part of my mind? The subconscious mind is gigantic, and the conscious mind is a pea brain. So down here in my heart, where all my hurts and harms, all my opinions of you, all my yesterdays, all the things that trigger me, all the things that I'm not even in touch with, they're in there. The issues in the tissues. It's in me. It's all over me. It's there inside of me everywhere. And I need to stuff a God down into where the disease is, into my heart mind, not into this mind. I cannot trust this mind. This is the mind of self, self-manufacturing of my own misery. We must be rid of this self, or it kills us. Selfishness and self-centeredness, we think, is the root of our trouble, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate, sometimes seemingly without provocation. God, I offer myself to thee. Build with me. Do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. We must be rid of this selfishness, or it kills us. The words all over the literature, but who really dissects it and picks it apart? Sometimes, not putting this meeting or any meeting down, sometimes the message of Alcoholics Anonymous is getting watered down or diluted. And we're not talking about a God consciousness, and we're spending too much time talking about the drinking and not enough time about who I am today. Let me tell you, I can totally qualify in 30 seconds flat. I have 18 prostitution cases. I have 23 drug and alcohol related cases. I have 6 drunk driving cases. I have been in jail so many times it would make y'all's head spin. I have been a street prostitute with a bottle of vodka in the back of my pocket and a whole lot of other substance that don't belong here in the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am a vodka drinking, bottle hiding maniac. And I found what I was looking for in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not on psych meds. I don't go to therapy. I have sponsors. I have people that I work with. I have people in my life I am completely transparent with. On a daily basis, there are 5 or 6 people I talk to when I get twisted up. I don't just run things by one person. I need a lot of help. A lot of help. I still need a lot of help. I got 16 years of sobriety, and I can be a hot mess with one resentment. You just watch me go. So I look at step two, and I have to come to believe that a power can restore me. When do I do that? Well, what I learned was, if I'm not practicing a program of recovery, then I'm not in a program of recovery. Then I'm just a dry drunk. So when do I seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God? First thing in the morning, I wake up and I watch the thoughts that are surfing the waves of my brain, and I just go, not this, not today, no thanks. I know I'm a loser. I'm going to be broke. This mosquito bite on my neck is going to turn into lymphoma. I'm too fat. I'm unlovable. I'm too ugly. I'm an ex-hooker. I'm a this, I'm a that. And I just beg with all my heart and I say, power, can you please protect me from my untreated alcoholism? My mind is trying to mug me. My mind is a lynch mob. My mind is trying to take me out of the game. The main part of the illness centers in my mind. In step 8 in the 12 of 12, it says, very deep, sometimes quite forgotten, damaging emotional conflicts persist below the level of consciousness. At the time of these occurrences, they may have given our personality violent twists, which have discolored our patterns of our lives forever. I've got a lot of problems, and I need a big, gigantic God. So self is this big in the beginning, and the God consciousness is this big, like a little Cracker Jack charm out of a gumball machine. I need to get a God consciousness that's this big, and I need to shrink self down to here. How do I do that? It says constantly remind myself I'm no longer running the show. Okay, it's me and you, God, mostly you. I don't know what's going down. I don't know what people are thinking. I don't know what's happening with Monsanto and the pollution and the president and the world and politics and Black Lives Matter. I don't want to have big opinions where I blow my whole head off. God, can you please just be with me today? Allow me to be in a state of acceptance where I'm no longer running the show. Could you help me, God? Could you? Could you? Would you? Please, God, me and you, God, mostly you. And I allow God into my heart. And I start to let go absolutely 1 second at a time. I remind myself, I'm no longer running the show. Please, power, help me back down. You got to help me. I'm crazy. I'm a maniac. I have too many opinions. My mind goes a million miles an hour. Please, power, could you, would you, could you let me set aside everything I think I know so I can have a new experience right now with these people in the UK? Could you allow me to transmit a message like I never transmitted before? God, could you work through me and help me to help somebody out there that needed to hear something like this? Could you, would you, please, power, please be with me. And I pray with intention in my heart. Emmett Fox in Sermon on the Mount says, I pray in the secret place. I have a spiritual telephone booth and I call the power up with my heart mind and I ask and I plead for a new experience, and God opens my heart. Alcoholics are not sociopaths and psychopaths. It's very rare that we are an absolute psychopath. Very rare that a psychopath is also an alcoholic. A psychopath is a very calculated type of thinking. Very sinister and calculated. Alcoholics have broken hearts. We cry easily. We feel rejection so easily. We suffer. We suffer. Hurt people, hurt people. We hurt each other and we hurt ourselves because we don't know how to function in this world. And God makes that possible. I look at step 3 and it says, I make a decision to turn my will and my thoughts over to the care of this God as I understood. Reminding, it said understood. It didn't say understand. It's understood. It's understood that there's an infinite power that I can never wrap my mind around. I'll never figure out God. It's just understood that God is the manager for my life, in my life, this second today, 1 second at a time. And I get out of that bed and I trust in the process and I turn my will and my thought life towards this power and not inward towards me and what I think I want and the impossible list for Santa Claus and how my needs should be met and how my warped instincts better get treated and how you better like me even if I can't stand you. And I ask God to put love in my heart. And I ask God to place me in a position of neutrality. And I ask God for compassion. And I ask God to give me the willingness to help another alcoholic and pass the baton along. And sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, this begins to happen for me.
You know, it really does. God begins to download in me because I'm making a decision every minute of every day to turn towards God. That doesn't mean that self doesn't get out of the basement and off her leash and go cuss somebody out or hate on somebody or do something crazy. But I try to reel her in as fast as I can before she gets out and gives the whole neighborhood rabies. Like, I can pause when doubtful and agitated so much faster than ever before. I have an internal brake pedal and I can slam the brakes on and I can say, whoa, 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 turbo. We're not doing that today. No, 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 no. And I go to the power and I say, power, do you see what I just did or what I was about to do? Power, please protect me from my mind. Please help me stop this behavior. Please don't let me take this thing any further. And God does for me what self could never do. Self's no longer running the show, 1 second, 1 moment at a time. It creates humility in me. Humility is an activity. Like a duck that looks like he's just cruising along the water, but really his feet are paddling, 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 paddling. All day long, I'm talking to the power. Power, help me not to be triggered. Power, help me to be a better version of me. Power, help me just drive my car. Help me just brush my teeth. Help me just make my bed. Help me just be of service. And things slow down. And I'm not hyper anymore. And I don't feel insane anymore. And I start to notice the leaves on the trees are just a little greener. And somebody that I never noticed before, she somehow looks beautiful and he somehow looks handsome. And I'll all of a sudden, I'm so satisfied with what I have. I don't have an unsatisfied mind. I don't need to go on Amazon and eBay all night long looking for something to fix me. It's a God-sized hole, and I allow the power to come into my life. And as I allow the power to come into my life, I live in a world where drinking's not necessary, but also thinking's not necessary. You see, I live in a world where, why would I want to blow my life up? Like, honestly, even if there was a nuclear war, or I was diagnosed with cancer, or God forbid God took my only daughter, why would I want to pour liquor, glug, 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 all over that? Why would, how would that do anything to the problem? How could it possibly enhance what I'm already in? It's a full reliance on a power. I've got to constantly remind myself that I'm no longer running the show. You know, I just took a 16-year cake and I have never felt more love for the human race than I do now. I have never felt more love for the people in my life. I feel so kind and I want to hug people and I want to say I'm sorry and I want to be there for them. Self didn't do that. 16 years of hardcore grind at the principles embodied in these steps did that. I didn't do it. I'm a bitch. I'm a maniac. I'm a lunatic. I can be there for my daughter. I can be there for Stacy. I can be there for Boo. I can be there for so many people. There's bad things happening in my home group right now. Really bad things happening. One of my sponsees is in a psych ward. Another guy's been busted with child pornography. Another woman's having a total breakdown. My best friend drank. You know what? I got to keep it together. Please, God, don't let me go down the drain. Please, 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 God, don't let me throw away what I have. This program becomes so valuable to me, so valuable. I hold it so close that me and this program and God, we become one together. So close I stay to this message. So, 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 so close. I do not want to stray from this path. There is no graduating point. It says, practice the principles in all of my affairs. There's an affair every 5 minutes. I get in the elevator. I go to the grocery store. I got to put a mask on. There's COVID all over Southern California. People are getting sick right and left. Now it's mutated. It's attacking young children. My daughter's a big protester for Black Lives Matter. She has not missed one rally in Los Angeles. She has taken a stand for the minority. She's at the Justice Department, City Hall, marching down the street day and night with her mask and her gloves on. She has tested negative for COVID over and over and over again. It's not my life. It's not my calling. I try so hard to look at my own white privilege in, from every angle, because I want to be an equal. I want to be loving. I want to be forgiving. I want to be on a fair playing field. My daughter teaches me so much every single day about that whole situation. I'm not trying to bring anything politically in here. I'm just like, wow. I'm wowed by my kid. She's a beautiful human being. How did God give me that? How did that happen to my life? How come my daughter's not a hooker walking down the street with no face mask? Like, really, God's been so forgiving and so kind and so generous to me. I would never throw this away. This program is the most valuable thing I have. Me and you, God, mostly you. This is not a religion. It's a spiritual kit of tools laid at my feet. It's a spiritual plan of action. And I think I'm almost out of time, and I know I can hang out for like maybe 10 or 12 more minutes. And I apologize that I somehow got the timing wrong. Really, if I confused somebody or if I got confused, you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't know why. I didn't realize I was supposed to be here for another half hour. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lawrence said there could be a small window of space in case somebody wanted to ask a question. And if I'm wrong there, I'm sorry again. But I think that I've done my 25 minutes. I'm not sure exactly. Is that right, Lawrence?
Yeah, that's about 25 minutes, Astrid.
Okay, yeah. And thank everybody. Thank you so much, all of you, all those beautiful faces I've never seen before. Alcoholics Anonymous is a miracle. It's a beautiful program. I don't know what we would ever do without it. Please don't throw your life away. Make your life important to you. This day, today, now, here, this minute, make your thought life important to you, because you will get thirsty if you don't watch your mind. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Ashley. Great to hear you.